So do you want to lead that?
All right, last week, Kim asked if they could dedicate their little girl. And as you know, they received him in their home 3 weeks, 4 weeks after he was born, was released from the hospital, 4 weeks. We had him in our house for a couple of days this weekend, realized what Kim and Natasha are up against. So we bless you for that to start with. So what we want to do is we would like for you two to express your desires, dreams, hopes, and revelation you have for this little girl and speak that out here and declare that. And then we will respond as elders by way of blessing as well, because you are publicly dedicating this child to the Lord. And so what has God put in your hearts for this little girl?
Everything. I would love to have her be the little girl that she should be, knowing God, knowing everything. I don't know what else to say, but I'm blessed of her being in my home. It's rough some nights. She's still withdrawing big time. But I have a rock in my life, and that's Natasha.
So I would like Mahalia to follow the Lord. I would like the generational curses to be broke from her for drugs. And hope that she can lead a happy life.
Well, Father, we want to do everything we can Kim and Natasha to come alongside them for Mahalia. You've been given a very interesting name, Mahalia. May you sing for the glory of God. That's my sense. May you sing and come full to full life in the purposes of God. So God has met you in this day, and I just pray your grace and peace and strength to Kim and Natasha, and for your peace to rest over Mahalia in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mahalia, I speak over you the ability to break out of your history and generational curses.
Yes.
And to once and for all,
yes,
break any works of darkness,
yes,
that you may have inherited, but will help
Jesus'
set
name.
Yourself and your family free. And so now in the name of Jesus here publicly, in Jesus' name, I break every curse. I break every generational transfer by way of drugs, of addictions, of death. I break it off of you now, and I command it to come out in Jesus' name. And now I bless you with life, abundant life, overflowing life, contagious love, liberating love to those whom you will impact in your family and around you in Jesus' name. And we affirm Daddy Kim's words, that everything God has for her, you will receive and live out by His grace in Jesus' name.
Let's all pray for Kim and Natasha, for God's grace, supernatural energy, and abundant life for both of you, for that you'd be surprised yourself at what you're able to do with this young girl. In Jesus' name.
Kim and Natasha, I just want to thank you guys for the sacrifice that you guys are making for this child. This is a huge blessing, and we're going to pray that God will reward you richly. And what was her name again?
Mahalia.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Kim and Natasha and what they are doing in Mahalia's life. And we just ask that every effort that they spend on this young child, that you would bless that, and that there would just be such a rich reward in their life and also in this child's life. We pray and ask this because you are the ever-giving Father, and we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this young life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I just had a prophetic sense. I don't remember where. It's one of the prophets where he says, no longer will the sins of the sons, will the sons pay sins of the fathers. Do you know where that is? Okay. Anyway, I just feel like, I think the Lord wants us to declare that this withdrawal is a sin of the father and not a sin of the son. And I feel like we can declare today that this withdrawal can stop right now in the name of Jesus. So would you stand up with me? Can we declare in faith this morning? Father, we just thank you for your word, and that even in the time of the old covenant, you had already declared that the sins of the father would not follow the son, or the sins of the mother. So we just break off the curse of withdrawal right now in Jesus' name, and we just declare cleansing over this body in Jesus' name, and we say, let there be no more impact of drug in this child, but let this child be free from this day forth from these consequences, Lord, that do not belong here. We just break it off in Jesus' name, and we declare health and freedom in this child. And not only will there be no more short-term effects from drug use, there will be no long-term effects either. In Jesus' name, you are making everything new right now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We bless you. Bless you guys. If any of you other people, folks out there, have a word, you can give it to them afterwards, words of encouragement, word of strength. Please do that. All right, and keep remembering Kim and Dash as they take on this challenge. Just before Bill comes, I just want to read two other verses from Hebrews chapter 4. I purposely left these before we bring Bill in. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Bill, come and we'll just pray for you. Father, we are always grateful for the word of life, the word you've given Bill this week. And we want to receive that in faith. We haven't even heard it yet, but we receive it as something we want to walk in obedience. Lord, we want to say to you, we are obedient to the word, and we do it in faith because your word is active and it divides between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And so ask for your word to be powerful this morning as it's spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you for all who actively participated. That means all of you. Whether you are facing this way or facing the other way, those of you online, it's good to have you join us as well. Last week, Sunday, I spoke on James 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your trials is a test of your faith, to see if what you say you believe is actually true in your life when you get tested. And I understand that it blessed many of you, it spoke to many of you, and it was one of those times, I enjoy teaching. My family thinks I enjoy standing in front of people. I enjoy teaching. I've come to enjoy it. But it was one of those times, and you can relate to this. You know, when you're praying for someone, it's like you're hearing yourself pray, and it's like, but it's not you, it's not your voice. Last week's Sunday was like that for me. I mean, I know I was here, I was in the body, I was not out of the body, but it was like the Holy Spirit, in a sense, took over. The message carried me. But then it also was communicated to you. And I am, what's that? You agree. I know it resonated in your spirit. I mean, someone who speaks publicly, you kind of feed off the people. I know it in the spirit, you received it. So this week I'm doing I guess you could call it a follow-up. I'm continuing it a little bit further as I was praying, you know. Again, as a speaker, I enjoy series in one aspect because I know where I'm going next week. Whereas when you don't have a series, like, Lord, I need to hear from you. What do your people need to hear? And so this week, Wednesday, I think it was, when this was dropped into my spirit. And just one more aside, just ask for confirmation how the Holy Spirit works. While I was preparing last week, I had a paraphrase. I don't know why the Holy Spirit did this to me, but he gave me a paraphrase of a particular verse, and I couldn't find it. I Googled and I searched, and I kind of knew what I was looking for, but I didn't get the words right. And as I'm giving Brady a ride home, he says, the scripture for this morning is Jeremiah 12, verse 5. And he quotes it. And I said, that's it. That's the one I was looking for, and I couldn't find it. Let me read what it says there. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? Okay, so if what we're experiencing, if the trials that you're experiencing is wearying you, then how can you contend, how can you run with the horses? But it goes on to say this, and if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do it in the floodplain of the Jordan? Now, isn't that encouraging? Come on. How many of you this past week allowed your circumstances to get the best of you? And how many of you instead placed your eyes on Jesus again and again and again? Now, if you are one of the ones who lost your joy, who lost your peace, or you haven't found it all together, if this stuff is hanging over your head, would you do a symbolic action of faith and put it beneath your feet and stomp on it right now? Please? Your word says, the Bible says, Jesus says, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, which means every oppression, every attack, every trial only has one place where it should be, and that is not above your head because there's nothing higher than heaven. It belongs beneath your feet. I agree with Sam, there was something, you know, there was not confusion per se, there was something just in the spirit off this morning that could distract us. And we say no to that. Like just no. We are not going to allow the minuscule junk from the enemy to overpower the power of the Spirit of God that you all carry. Okay, so hopefully you're in a good frame of being, not just as a soulish Christian, but as a spirit-led Christian. All right. So last week, count it all joy to say what you believe gets tested. Now, a speaker needs to adapt his speech to the person or people he's speaking to. It is no novel, it is no gift to take something simple and make it complicated. But it is a gift to take something complicated and to put it in layman's or common people's terms. And the best one we have for that, obviously and always, is our Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to take a complex truth and communicate that at a level where even a child can understand, that is a gift. Now remember, when Jesus came on the scene, he began to talk about a lot about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And it was a new phenomena. It really was, because the way he presented it, they had never heard it. They had never been confronted with it. And guess what? 2,000 years later, the church is still confused about the kingdom of God. It's not the part that we disagree about the term, but what we define the term to be. We here at Free Grace Fellowship, we embrace the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is the government of God, and it is intended to impact all of culture. Again, no pep talk this morning, it's truth. And the more we live this out, the more we embrace this, we can then speak into politics, we can speak into business, we can speak into education, we can speak into arts and entertainment, and we can get involved, and we ought to be. We have a civic election, except for in Fort McLeod, apparently. And so we have 30-some here in Lethbridge, I believe 30-some people running for council and about 4 or 5 for mayor. We need to hear the Spirit of God because he is interested and he has something to say. By the way, none of this was in my notes. Now, Mark writes that the common people heard him, Jesus, gladly, which means the mass of the people. Now, what did they hear? They heard storytelling as illustrations from everyday life. They heard parables with content that they could relate to. And whatever was close at hand that Jesus could point to or utilize, I can imagine him, you know, a sower goes out to sow. There could have been a sower sowing his field. Or he took a child that was right there and he put them in the midst of them. Now imagine this, parents, you got a little tyke here and Jesus comes and takes your tyke and puts him in the middle and somehow this little child, I doubt this child was frightened. He had a presence with him that brought peace and calm. And he takes the little child and says, unless you become like this little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's those statements that they didn't know what to do with. John chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And after that, many people left him. But the common people heard him gladly because he brought words of life and he brought words of hope, words of light. It all gave life to those looking for truth and life. But then hours before Jesus faces his enemies in the garden, Jesus tells his 11 disciples, because Judas had already walked out of the room, he says this, I still have many things to say to you. So open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 16. We're going to read verses 5 through 15 in its context and unpack this a little bit in whatever time we have, which isn't a whole lot. John chapter, you gave me permission to go on, really? I'll talk to young mums later, or Graham will. I know what it's like sitting in the back and unruly kids, and we thank you, Jesus, for all our children. John 16, beginning at verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The title I gave my message this morning is Age Appropriate Knowledge for the Church. Okay? Age Appropriate Knowledge for the Church. So in the context, what I want to highlight is verses 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why could they not bear them now? Because they needed the Holy Spirit to give them the understanding of what he would tell them when that time came. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, not the Bible, but in other sources, people say power or knowledge is power, which is mostly true, but not totally true, but knowledge applied is power. When a toddler learns to open up the door, the world is open to them to explore. Knowledge applied gives them a level of power. Knowledge shared is power multiplied. The funny story that I remember is Francis Frangipane. He's an Italian guy and he's got a good sense of humor, but he used to, you know, he always traveled cheap like he would. Like I probably would as well. But one time he had enough points, he had enough favor, whatever it was. There was an empty seat in first class, and he was called up to first class. But he didn't want to let people know this was his first time there, so he kind of settled in. He was enjoying his environment and the circumstances. And then food came around, was brought and delivered. You know, the snacks, whatever they give. And he looks around, and he doesn't. He's sitting in the very front row, by the way, and he's got no tray. And so he says to the airline attendant, excuse me, my seat doesn't have a tray. And the airline attendant says, oh, sir, it's beside you. So it was, you know, it was kind of hidden or different, as first class people would know. And so he blew his cover. So sometime later, you know, he got called up once in a while into business class or first class. And so here he is again, enjoying his beautiful seat. And apparently someone else was there for the very first time. And this person had the same complaint. I don't have a tray. Oh, Francis, I will show you. And he shares his knowledge, and he multiplied it, and he shared his knowledge. But then he makes this statement. Knowledge puffs up, but love lifts up. Love edifies. You see, so knowledge is power, but when knowledge is misused or abused, it puffs up and it can destroy. Now, the cross proves that God wants to share his power with us so that together, Jesus in us and Jesus through us, we can overthrow the works of darkness. God is not stingy hanging on to power. If he was stingy hanging on to power, he would have never created man in his image and said, have dominion over all I've created. And if he was stingy to share his power, he would not have sent Jesus to restore us into that perfect ability through the Spirit of God, when we walk in the Spirit, to again have dominion over all that he's created. And so the world is waiting, or the church is waiting for Jesus to come back and reestablish his kingdom. When Jesus says, no, I've given you all you've needed, you have the power present in you to do what you're called to do. Now, one of my spiritual fathers makes this statement, and I quote, and he says this, God's permanent job is the empowerment of people. You think about that. God's permanent job is the empowerment of people. Now, he first has to redeem you, and then he gives you his power. Now, we know Jesus had power without limits. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But you have the power of him in you. You have Holy Spirit power to do everything you will ever need to do. But some of us are saying, I've asked for the power to be manifested. I've asked, like Sam, he spoke over this little girl to break off. And yes, and why not? And some of you say, okay, but if the church is to have has this power, where is the power? So what's the problem? What's the tension? But I believe this statement is true. And if the statement is true, which I believe is, then God is not afraid of sharing his power, unlike Satan. And many people in the world who have power, they will not move over and share their power with you. But the adverse is actually reality. They want as much power as they have, and then some. Hunger for power destroys people and has destroyed the kingdom of darkness. And they want to keep you in ignorance in the dark and to keep you powerless. So a couple questions to you. How much knowledge can you handle? Maybe you don't get the question. Let me ask it a different way. How much power can you handle? David this morning gave us an example. David was a man after God's own heart. You see, David's heart was aligned with his God. And so God could entrust him with power. He could entrust him with knowledge. Now, he abused it a little bit here and there. But when his men wanted to stone him because the wives and kids and their stuff got robbed when they left Ziklag and the city was burned, what does it say? And David strengthened himself in the Lord. How much power can you handle? Just take that one with you. It's a good one to ask once in a while. The church wants more power. But it says all power has been given to us, to Christ, and he's given it to us. So what's the problem? Does your opinion agree with God's opinion of how much power you can handle? You see, God loves you too much to see you destroy yourself. He knows better than you do. He knows better than I do what I can handle and where I would knuckle under or where I would blow up. Or blow you up. Right? This is the old phrase, right? If you live your Christian life without the Spirit, you dry up. If you do it without the Word, you blow up. You do it with the truth and the Spirit, you grow up. So to the passage. Knowledge and power for the present. John 16 says, I still have many things to say to you. When did he tell them? As they needed it. When will he tell you? as you need it. He says, I still have many things to say to you. And by the way, he didn't just give it to the 11 and didn't continue to speak it. Again, part of the body of Christ. Unfortunately, there is so much disunity, even theologically on this point. There's those in the body of Christ who would say, God doesn't speak today anymore like he did to the disciples, because we have his word and everything that needs to be said is in the word. Sounds noble, sounds pious, sounds right, but it's wrong. Jesus still has many things to say to us. He has many things he wants to say to you. And by the way, he has said some things to you along the way. Some you've picked up, some you've ignored, and some you didn't even recognize was him. But the truth is, I still have many things to say to you. But then he says, but whatever the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak. So God is the expert in age-appropriate knowledge. And parents, you know this. You wouldn't teach your sons how to operate a table saw, dads, when they're 5. And moms, you wouldn't expect your kids, or you're not going to help your 7-year-old daughter of how your car operates and give them the keys for safekeeping. You wouldn't do it. There's age-appropriate knowledge. And by the way, some of them are too young at 14. It's my opinion. And my excuse is I come from BC, where it's 16. Still too young for some. Age appropriate can be understood in 2 different ways. One way is maturity level. As you mature, and some mature younger, and so they can be given more responsibility, more knowledge, more information, they can handle it. And some, they never grow up, and so they can never handle it. So there's that aspect. But the other one is, let me go back there a minute. God will reveal more knowledge to you when you're ready. What have you been asking for? Now, it's a noble request to say, God, I want to see your power manifest. There's nothing wrong with that. And then he takes you on a whirlwind course of his way of answering your prayer. He takes you through trials. He takes you through James 1:1. And he takes you through a loss of money. And he takes you through a relational challenge. And it's like, God, that's not what I asked for. Yes, you did. You still didn't know how I would send it. You want more power, he needs to know this vessel can hold the power. I don't know who the voice is behind this, but someone said, don't trust anybody without a limp. I think there's merit to that. I know it's not in the Bible, but I can find support in the Bible. Don't trust anybody without a limp. Have you been broken enough to become useful, to where the fragrance of Jesus is readily released, or are you still all about, I can do this, I want to do this? You see, our God will not give you that which will harm you. Well, sometimes he'll give you a little bit. He'll give you what you ask for, and it's like, ouch. The second one is where we are in the timeline. That's really where I want to emphasize it, is where we are in the timeline of God's plans for his world that is to be Christ's inheritance. And it remains a mystery until it's the right age. You hear what I'm saying? God has age-appropriate revelation that he will not give until it's the right time. 500 years ago, it was the right time for Luther to have the revelation how corrupt the Catholic Church was. And he nailed 95 theses. 80 years ago, it was the right time for Bonhoeffer to open up his mouth and to warn people about Hitler and his regime. What's God saying to the church in 2021? What is age-appropriate knowledge and revelation? And sometimes he keeps things hidden for thousands of years. This is what Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So one of the reasons, I'll come back to this in a sec, one of the reasons God hides knowledge because he does not want the kingdom of darkness to know either. And in this case, he did not want them to know that the way he would redeem the world was to see his son hung on the cross and bleed and pay for your and my sins. Had they known that, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. And a bigger reason behind that is because now the devil does not have to contend with one Jesus, but every one of you who carry Jesus. Yes, you are in Christ, but Christ is in you. And if the church understands that, this world would begin to look different more quickly. So they're not always independent of each other. So Hebrews 5:12, I know you quoted Hebrews 4 twice, but 5:12 says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So God had a design. This is what he wanted the Hebrew Christians to understand, and he couldn't give it to them. What would God have given to the church before 2021 or before the 21st century? But he couldn't, because the church wasn't ready. Back in the 70s and 80s, the restoration of the apostolic came into existence. The church wasn't ready. Fell flat in its bottom. But it's happening now. The message of the kingdom of God, the church wasn't ready to receive it in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. But it's more ready today. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to us in this present time in which we're living? This morning in pre-service prayer, one of the sisters was praying, Lord, show us what the sons of Issachar like. Make us like the sons of Issachar, who knew the times in which they lived. You see, when I started here, I said, if there's anything that has distracted you this week, where your circumstances took over, instead of placing them on Jesus, you're not understanding the signs of the times. You're not understanding the times you're living in. In one sense, I wish I could give you a word that would allow you to leave here saying, wow, we're almost through this. It can only get better. But I can't give you that word. But a word I can give you is that whatever is ahead of us is for your and my good. The growth of the kingdom and the glory of God. And for some of you, this may sound like an oxymoron. It's contrary to everything you're seeing and what they're telling you and what it looks like. That's because we live in a Western culture where everything has to be quick and easy and in my favor, and it makes me happy. You see, there's those, the passage says, I still have many things to say to you. And the church gets it wrong too, at least part of the church, because we've got two sides. One side of the church says, look at the signs of the times. I believe we are in the last of the last days. Jesus is coming back very quick, very soon. Look at what we're experiencing. That's one side of the church. And the other side of the church is something different. Some say, well, I have no opinion. I just don't know what to think. Now, I'll give you full permission to disagree with me this morning, what I'm going to share here. You wrestle out with God, because John chapter 16 is not just for me studying it and releasing it to you. That's just as true for you. Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I believe that can even be true to a person who has the Spirit of God. You still can't bear them. But that's not God's issue. I give you full permission Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the word of God. He will guide you into all truth. So Jesus, what is the truth of September 2021? What is the truth of that which is still to come? What is it that we are to embrace, that we are to look for, pray for, expect, that we have not yet received as revelation? The knowledge you have not yet given us, that for whatever reason has not yet come to the surface. Now we can rely on the prophets and piggyback on them, which you can do. But the same Spirit that indwells those men and women is in you. What is the truth Jesus is speaking about the present culture we're living in that is attempting to take us along with it? Well, let me ask you another question. How far will God let this world go? How far? Do you think there's an answer? Of course there's an answer. Do you think we can know the answer? How far will God let this world go? As far as he needs to let it go, until his people get into position before the Lord to hear what they are to do. I can repeat it for some of you taking notes. As far as he needs to let it go, until his people get into position before the Lord to hear what they are to do. The passage also says in John 16, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. If I had another 30 minutes, which I don't, and I'm not going to take the 30 minutes, I would like to put some meat on the skeleton I'm going to put out there. But historically, in your Bible and since, when you see God do things, when you see God bring change, it rarely comes quickly, but there are signposts, there are indicators, and we'll call it an era shift. One of them is the Israelites are in Egypt. They're crying out to God, and yet the oppression continues. And God takes Moses, and there's the plagues. There is an era shift. They're going from captivity to freedom. They spend 40 years in the wilderness, and eventually they get to the nation of Israel. There is prophetic words. There is miracles. It doesn't happen overnight, and it looks like it's getting darker and darker and darker. But on the other side, there is the land flowing with milk and honey. Prior to Jesus coming, later they see the prophetic word, that here light has come to a people who sat in darkness. They're oppressed under the Roman regime. There is an era, 30 years after Jesus is born, before he comes on the public scene. Prophecies increase, miracles increase. Mary is impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, who is barren, receives a child. We are in an era of change. We have entered it, and we're looking for a quick exit, for a quick end. You see, Jesus, for the hope that was set before him, endured the cross. Wasn't quick, but it came. You've heard prophetic words of revival. And I embrace them, I believe them. I believe the prophets are right. Bob Jones, he's gone to be with the Lord. Years ago, I was reminded of that this week. A lady on a call, she shared this, how her son was in a room when Bob Jones said, to your generation, he said, God will save a billion souls. Now, Bob Jones was known as a very, very, very accurate prophetic voice. Will we see revival? I believe so. But what will God allow before revival comes? What usually precedes revival? Darkness, trials, hardship. Now, I wish I could tell, in one sense, I wish I could tell you, like I said earlier, you know, things would be glorious, things would be great, and just like a skip and a hop in the park. But count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because good is coming out on the other side. Now, the same spiritual father who said to me that God is in the permanent business of empowering people, he's a man in his late 70s. Yeah, he's past 75. And he said, my whole life I've been looking for this fight. And he says, we're in it. And I'm excited. You see, we can look at the circumstances. We can look at what's going on in the province, and I don't know what's coming down the pipe. Or we can say, no, our eyes are beyond that. I lift my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my hope. My hope is in the Lord. And what is going to be between this and that, I don't know. But God says it's going to be good. And he defines good. And it could mean more losses. In this past week, I've had a number of various opportunities to walk with people regarding letters for their authorities to get exemption from the vaccine. Not fun. One of my daughters she won't take this laying down, is doing all she can so she won't get laid off from her medical job. And for some of us, you know, it hits home. It's close to home. And I don't like losing liberties, and neither do you. But don't let your liberty in Christ be lost. Don't let your hope in Jesus who saved you be lost. And he's about saving all of you, by the way, not just the spirit man. He wants to redeem your body. He wants to redeem your soul. And so thank God that many of our prayers go unanswered when we say, Lord, I want power. When he's okay, but this vessel can't quite hold as much power as you're asking for yet. But if you let me, we'll get there. We'll do this together at my pace. And boy, does it hurt. The flesh. And boy, does it test the soul. But oh, does it give life to the spirit. You see, we're in an era shift. It's happening. It takes time. Historically, it took time. This is not the end. Jesus is not coming back to a 21st century church that is cowering. He's coming back to a church that embraces all that he has for them in the power of the Holy Spirit, where miracles and prophecies and where his power can be entrusted and the world is turned upside down once again. And I don't believe it's even one generation. In other words, I don't believe it'll take place in one generation. It'll go on and on and on. Now, I told you, I gave you permission to disagree with me. But from that vantage point, I am preaching because that's what I believe my Bible tells me. But one thing he does tell us, we're to come out from among them. Paul quotes in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So going through trials and hardships isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just burns off the dross. It just takes off some things that stand in the way anyway. You see, you need godly character. You need a David's heart to be entrusted with the kingship. And my Bible says we are kings and priests. Where's your heart at? That's what David asked. Where's your heart at? David on the screen. So you want power? Let's make it very basic to where you're at. I love reality. Reality is right now, whatever is real for you. What are you doing with the knowledge you already have? You say you want more? What are you doing with what you've been given? What are you doing? saying, God, I'm seeking to be faithful. All I trip, but I'm seeking to be faithful. And when he sees faithfulness, what does the word tell you? He gives more. Godly character and power go hand in hand. Right? And how do we get godly character? Last week I didn't reference it, and this week I won't either, but in Peter, you know, to your faith add virtue, you add this, add this, add this. The testing of your faith. God wants to know that when he gives you something, you can handle it. And he knows what you can handle right now. But he wants to give you more. And when he sees a son or a daughter that can handle more, he's right there. Here you go. There you go. There you go. And when you're faithful with that, he says, here's some more. There's some more. All right, Graham, I don't know how to close this morning. I'll let you do that as the Spirit guides you. But maybe my encouraging comment to you is, when you're not doing well, don't do it alone. You can agree with what's shared this morning, or maybe you're challenged by it, but when you're not doing well, don't do it alone. The enemy wants to pick you off. But together, we win. Amen.
Methinks this sounds like a third sermon coming.